This is Pastor Emery. Is what we see happening to once Christian America all by chance, or is it prophesied in the Bible? U.S. President Woodrow Wilson, realizing he did not really rule America, once said, "There is a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so complete, that they better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it." End of quote. Could that power referred to by President Wilson be the one called in Revelation 17, verse 5, Mystery Babylon the Great, and in verse 18, said to be the power that, quote, ruleth over the kings of the earth? And our study of some of the last chapters of the book of Revelation is continuing. I titled this series, What is Mystery Babylon? Because that is the question we will find answered as we compare these chapters with the past and present history of the world. The very first phrase of the book of Revelation, Revelation 1:1, proclaims that it is, quote, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. So the whole book is a preview of the history of the world which was to then come to pass after the time of John. Then come 15 or so pages of these revelations, actually prophecies, culminating in chapter 22, where Jesus himself says three times, I come quickly. This indicates that the age, or the time about which the book of Revelation was written, would end with the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. So, in between Revelation 1:1 and Revelation 22 and verse 21 is a pre-written history of our world. If you are ignorant of what has happened to the world in the past, then how can you read the book of Revelation and see whether events prophesied in it have come to pass or not? In the last years, many people are beginning to question the teachings of the churches about prophecy. So now they have had to come up with some new theories. And one of the most amazing ones is in a number of books published recently, which identify the United States of America as Mystery Babylon the Great. Imagine, the greatest Christian nation of all of history, the nation which was founded by Christians and which has carried out more of Jesus Christ's work upon the earth than any other, called by professing Christian ministers Babylon, and many churchgoers are actually believing it. Zondervan Publishing Company put out a book about 4 years ago calling America Babylon. The Seventh-day Adventists identify America as the little horn of Daniel 7 and as Babylon of Revelation, and now the Baptist Bible Fellowship publications of Springfield, Missouri, have come out with a book titled The King of Babylon, and the book attempts to convince its readers that America is actually fulfilling the prophecies of Mystery Babylon the Great. I wrote the author and told him I hoped that God would forgive him for calling the only nation in all of the world which was founded on Jesus Christ by the wicked name of Babylon. No, my friends, Mystery Babylon the Great is not America. In Revelation 17, we read last week the description of the scarlet woman and the scarlet-colored beast upon which she was riding, the beast that had seven heads and 10 horns. In verse 9, the seven heads are identified as seven mountains, and in verse 12, the 10 horns are identified as 10 kings. Mountains, as used in prophecy, means nations or kingdoms. In Daniel 2, the stone which destroyed the image is then said to become a great mountain and fill the whole earth. That mountain is obviously the kingdom of Christ upon the earth. Babylon is called, in Jeremiah 51:25, O destroying mountain. And in Ezekiel 38, the forces of Gog and Magog were to invade, quote, the mountains of Israel. since there were to be many nations of Israel, as Father Abraham was to be the father of many nations, that phrase refers to the modern-day nations of Israel. These nations are in Western Europe, North America, South Africa, and Australia, generally called Christendom or Christ's domain. And that would be the nations of Christ or the nations of Christ's kingdom. So, using the same Bible principle that mountains are nations or kingdoms, then the seven heads of the red beast that carries Mystery Babylon are actually seven nations or seven kingdoms, not just seven hills, as some think who say, oh, the Roman Catholic Church is Mystery Babylon because Rome is built on seven hills. But Moscow is also built on seven hills, just like Rome, and the Kremlin is on the highest of the seven hills of Moscow. After reading of this beast in Revelation 17, it was rather obvious we were reading of something which had been described once before in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel. So we turn to that, to Daniel 7, where I will continue reading today. And I do pray that many of you will read right along with me. We read verse 1 through verse 7, Daniel's dream or vision of the four great beasts which came up out of the sea. I identified them as number 1, Babylon, number 2, Medo-Persia, which conquered Babylon, number 3, Greece, which conquered Medo-Persia, and number 4, the Roman Empire, which conquered Greece and all of the previous empires. This fourth beast, or the great pagan Roman Empire, is described in verse 7. Let's read that again. Daniel 7, verse 7. And after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So here is a beast with 10 horns, just like the beast of Revelation 17, which carries Mystery Babylon. Now I'm going to read the next verses, verse 8 through 14, right on through without comment, because, as we'll see, Daniel did not understand the things he was seeing, so he asked the angel, and then the interpretation is given in verse 17 through 27, which we will read, and upon which I will comment.
We are here concerned with the interpretation, for among other things, I told you last week that this chapter makes it quite plain that the followers of Jesus Christ would be right here on the earth. As this age draws to a close, we will not be removed in some rapture, as so many teach. Daniel 7, verses 8 through 14. I consider the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000 ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now that is what Daniel saw, and here is Daniel's reaction in the next verse. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Apparently, Daniel was troubled, but did not understand the dream, for the next verse says, I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of the things. The angel then gave a very short interpretation of Daniel's entire dream, verse 17 and 18. These great beasts which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. The word kings here could have been translated kingdoms, which makes more sense, for as we will see, their existence extends over many centuries, much longer than four mortal kings would live. Four kingdoms, which shall arise out of the earth. Now this phrase, out of the earth, and the previous one, out of the sea, implies they are of the earth, not of God. Jesus told his enemies in his day, ye are from beneath, I am from above. He also told them, my kingdom is not of this world. Some take that statement by Jesus to mean his kingdom will not be on the world, but that isn't what he said at all. He said it was not of, or originating from, this world. Jesus, in effect, said the same thing of his disciples in his prayer in the garden in John 17, verse 16, where he said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So that is right. Jesus' kingdom is not of the world. It is of or from heaven. Christians have prayed for 1,900 years. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That prayer will be answered. Jesus' kingdom will be established on the earth, but first, these earthly systems must be destroyed. So in two verses, the angel told Daniel what the whole vision was about. Four beast kingdoms would rise from the earth, but in spite of that, the saints of God would take the kingdom forever, even forever. And we also see that same sequence of events in Revelation. In Revelation 17 and 18, we read of the destruction of Mystery Babylon, and then in Revelation 19, the next event is the return of Jesus Christ, and then the establishment of his kingdom upon the earth. But Daniel wasn't satisfied that he understood all he wanted to know about the fourth beast, the one that had the ten horns, so he asked a longer question. Verses 19 through 22. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. My time is running short today, and rather than read the angel's explanation to Daniel from verse 23 through verse 27 today, I think instead I shall point out how Daniel's vision of the fourth beast and Daniel's question about the fourth beast prove that the saints will be on earth until Christ's kingdom. The little horn here, which is actually an 11th horn, which Daniel said was more stout than his fellows in verse 20, Daniel then saw, according to verse 21, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. That war and prevailing against the saints apparently continued, quote, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. The so-called rapture theologians identify that little horn as the great Antichrist, who they say is supposed to rule the world at the end of this age, but they always hasten to add, oh, that won't be until after the rapture, until after you Christians are all gone. But Daniel said he saw that little horn make war with the saints, and he prevailed against them. A widely known American evangelist was in Phoenix several years ago, preaching on our local Christian television station about the rapture and the Antichrist out of the book of Daniel. He was on television every night for a week, and he read most of Daniel 7, but in reading it, he skipped verse 21 and 22 and verses 25 and 26. Why? Well, he was trying to convince his hearers that the Christians would be removed from the earth prior to the rule of this little horn, which he called Antichrist, but verse 21 and 22 and verse 25 and 26 make it plain that he was wrong, that the Christians would be here and would be warred against by this little horn. So he skipped those verses, and he knows as well as I do that 99 listeners, or at least 90 out of 100, would not be following him in their Bibles, and they would not know he skipped certain verses. So he could lie to them, tell them they will be raptured, and most of them would never know that Daniel's vision of the fourth beast showed the 11th horn that was on it actually at war with the saints and prevailing against them. And the angel said in verse 25, and they, or the saints, shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Yes, the saints of the Most High God would come under the hand and under the control of what the fundamentalists call the great Antichrist. But they deny it and skip the reading of verses in God's Word which would prove them wrong. Next week, God willing, we'll read the rest of Daniel 7, compare it to other visions in Daniel, and to Revelation 17. In all of them, you will be able to see that much of this has already come to pass. Christians have been warred against in the past. Christians are being warred against in the present, and we are under the control of a great anti-Christian world dictatorship. And except for the direct intervention of Jesus Christ, we should be destroyed. But instead, the enemies of Christ will be destroyed, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, or Christian nations. How about that? Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.